Hello and welcome back to another Let's Backflip show. Happy hour. I'm Ryan Fring, co-creative director here at Backflip. You're going to hear all that again because I do that intro on the show as well. Thanks for jumping in on the podcast. This is your super secret podcast intro. And today we're hanging out with Charlie Charles Warner. Today and talking about EV Land. That's right. The acclaimed award-winning energy marketing extravaganza. I probably could have thought through that and said it a lot better. EV Land, electric vehicle land. It's a take on La La Land and Baby Driver and all these kind of fun musical dance numbers, telling a story of a girl who has to find herself and discover what her style of dance is, with some hip hop influence, some ballet influence, pressure from her family. It's, now that I'm saying it, it's a pretty legit short film. And it ends with this great song at the end. Maybe at the end of the episode, I can actually play the song again or something. We'll see. If not, check out letsbackflip.com and you can check out our EV Land write-up somewhere in the work section. We'll have this song on there. It's so good. Yeah, you know we share this electricity, you and me. So good. So many, many more better voices than that are on that. That's what we got. Make sure, if you haven't yet, you hit that follow, that like, that subscribe, hit the bell, do the thing, show us the love. We are everywhere podcasts are sold. So we are on Google, we are on Apple, Spotify, Stitcher. Where else? I don't even know. We're in everything. So check it out. Thanks for that. Reviews do help. They help us go up in the algorithm so other people can discover us. So please do, if you're enjoying this content, leave us a review. If you have feedback, let us know too. You can shoot me a message. Again, go to letsbackflip.com, shoot us a message. And would love to hear more about what you want to hear us talk about, people you want us to interview. If you know any interesting people who would be fun to have on the show, let us know. You can reach out to myself, John, Emily, any of us. We'll make it happen. Cool. It's a snow day. I gotta go by the fire. You guys enjoy your episode. This is episode 37 with Charlie Warner. This is EV Land Premiere. Hello and welcome back to another Backflip Happy Hour. I'm Ryan Fring, one of the creative directors here at Backflip, or here on this page. Thank you so much for joining us today. We are over the moon that we are going to be watching EV Land, the short film that just premiered today on genre2030.com. But first, let's introduce everyone who is going to be on the stream. We've got John. Here we go. I can click some buttons. There it is. Hey, John. Say hey.
Hello.
Other creative director here at Backflip. We got to write that as a joke that actually works, because every time I try to introduce it, I'm like, what do I say?
Yes, I agree.
That's some good yes anding for the live stream. And joining us today is our good friend and cinephile and what are you, account services person? I always forget your title because you do so many cool things.
Yeah, I have the most generic title in the history of titles. It's even generic by utility industry standards. I'm what's known as a residential services manager who happens to make cool movies as well. So yeah. I'm not sure how that works. But yeah, it's great to be here. It's wonderful to be back. And it's just a true joy to be able to finally share EV Land with the whole wide world.
Yeah, we're here. Yep. And this is Charlie Warner from Madison Gas and Electric. And
he needs in the house.
Yeah, cinephile and a marketing man extraordinaire. And today we have our EV Land. You guys premiered it today on genre2030.com. So we're going to watch it and then we're going to talk about it.
Yeah, that sounds great.
This has been 2 years in the making. Is there anything you want to say before we kick it off?
Blow off the dust and fire up I think we recorded it on VHS, so I think we have to like...
Yeah, well, John is really pushing for 8-track, but you knew that 8-track wasn't going to make it, so we went not 8-track.
Beta.
Yeah, exactly.
No, it's a pretty fun little movie. It's the technically I think this is the sixth episode in the genre 2030 cinematic universe. It's definitely the biggest, the brightest, the most scope that we've ever tackled. It's the longest, I think, at like 16 minutes or something like that. So, you know, there's a lot of story and ground that we cover in a relatively brief amount of time. But as the viewers will see, you know, that was all sort of by design to tell a very involving story in a very fluid fashion, and really just to make people jump out of their seats and sing and dance. And I'm hopeful that that will happen during this this live stream here.
Yeah, we'll be jumping out of our seats. I know we're super stoked. How excited are you that this is out there? This is premiered. I mean, I can't contain myself.
Yeah. I'm trying to keep myself composed because I am a professional. You know? I'm really excited. It's you know, it's been a long time coming, and in a lot of respects, this is really the culmination of a lot of. Hard work by a lot of hardworking people. So it's nice to be able to share it with the world, but also share it with the people that we made it. Because I think a lot of people hadn't seen it that really kind of gave their all to making it. So it's really cool that it's finally out there for them, but also for you know, MG&E customers as well. I mean, Genre 2030 is a way that MG&E is engaging customers, particularly the millennial community here in Madison, so people ages between 20 and 30, in a way that's very creative, it's very artistic, but in a very energy driven way. You know, genre through films, through, you know, human energy, we're able to also provide these really cool energy products and services that MG&E offers to its customers in a very artistic and fun kind of way. So it's been a really cool project to work on these past 5 years. And I mean, all of the films, Backflip has had a hand in making and guiding and supporting. So it's been a great, great collaboration. And EV Land is really, I guess the culmination of all of that. So it's really exciting on so many levels. So I'm really kind of glad to have it out finally. And the world can now do with it as the world wants to.
Yes. We're expecting, you know, people to just go crazy over it, because anybody who I've shared it in my own office is just always amazed and engaged and enthralled. And like you were mentioning with the energy part, like I think we handled that pretty well. Obviously it's up to the audience, but like, I think it's such an engaging story, and we tell this, you know, kind of transformative, informative story with electric vehicles, which is kind of unique.
Yeah, that was really sort of fun to, I mean, as with all the genre episodes, I mean, we start with, you know, a stack of DVDs of movies that we think are going to inform the story. We have our star, and we try to tell a true and authentic version of their sort of like story as well, but in more cinematic terms. And then we have all of these kind of energy things that we need to weave into the narrative. And, you know, I think it'll make more sense when people, if they haven't seen any of the genre 2030 films, it makes more sense to see the film at the website, and then they can explore the bonus features, as it were, of all the little energy moments that, you know, may not get a lot of screen time. But, you know, in our lives, these things are always there. So it's, you know, going to the website, seeing the films, and then exploring the energy in addition to the film is probably the ideal way to consume all things genre. Mm-hmm. And EV Land, you know, really is all about electric vehicles, and MG&E is really all about electric vehicles too. You know, EV Land is really, I guess, a representation of what MG&E is doing to achieve our energy goals, to drive to a more sustainable energy future. We have a lot of shared energy goals with our customers and our community, and electric vehicles play a big role in achieving the goals that we've set for. So, you know, EV Land's just a really sort of fun, happy, engaging way to get people to think in terms of energy, to think in terms of sustainability, to think in terms of renewable energy and so many other things. So it's pretty fun that we're able to engage our customers in this kind of a way through really dynamic storytelling and marketing and customer engagement. That's really true and honest at the end of the day to you know, our subjects matters and this great city that we live in. So I don't know how else to
awesome. Set
it up. I feel like I say more than, you know, the hype train.
We don't want to give it away. Yeah. and to set us off, we'll watch it in 1 second here. This is a happy hour, so we're going to talk briefly about what we're drinking. I've got this Carbon 4 glass because you always got to be repping, bro. but I've got some Botanist in it. On this auspicious occasion, I opened a little fancy gin to celebrate, and of course, you know, a little bit of additional hydration. So we'll go to the left. Is that left? Yeah. Johnny, what do you got?
Well, I've got some more Death's Door gin, distilled by Dancing Goat Distillery, and I'm doing it with a lemon today, and a little bit of San Pellegrino.
Is that a plastic bottle or a glass bottle?
Yes.
So that brings us to Charlie. What do you got, Charlie?
Yeah. Well, great minds drink alike, I suppose, John, because I'm also drinking San Pellegrino as well, which is my go-to sparkling water. So,
were you here for that conversation, John?
I think he's down.
Okay. Yeah, we had maybe a 5-minute conversation about sparkling water in San Pellegrino and how he prefers it out of the glass.
Yes. Yeah, yeah, it was insufferable, the conversation. I just... came across so badly, but you know.
Right. Here hard we one, go. Let's see. Yeah, San Pellegrino was what actually got me into sparkling. So
yeah.
Holds a place in my heart. So I'm gonna switch us over. Here cool. we go. We're gonna go to this mode. Let's throw up the video.
I love the exposed brick background there. That's
super artistic. Here, now we can connect this, turn that on, transition to that, start it over. When you got to do the AV and the host, it works really, really well. So, yeah, I'll hit play and then I'll switch your guys' audio over. And just so everyone's aware, I'll have to switch you guys to my audio if I say anything. Otherwise, you won't hear me. You'll just hear the piece. So either you hear the piece or you hear me. Anybody watching at home, you're always going to hear the piece and you're always going to hear us. But I'm just setting that up because I don't want it to be awkward. So here we go. This is EV Land.
Hey, I'm Charlie.
And I'm Catherine.
And you guys are about to watch EV Land, a film from MG&E set right here in Madison featuring music, dance, and electric vehicles.
Lots of electric vehicles.
More than 20 types, from hybrids to all electric models.
That's right. I think of EVs almost like classical ballet. We're bringing both to you through a new lens. EV Land spotlights some of the latest and most sustainable vehicles.
And kind of takes a modern twist on classical dance because both are evolving, shaping the future. Like your character in the film.
Exactly.
Right? I think we're ready to feel the energy.
I think so. And see how many EVs we can spot. EVs are everywhere in Madison. There are red ones, blue ones.
Bigger ones, smaller ones.
And even one that looks like a cow. That's not the only surprise.
You'll want to stick around after the film for a few more surprises. And finally, be sure to check out mge.com/loveev to see why there's a lot to love about electric vehicles.
But right now, sit back, buckle up, and enjoy the ride.
Welcome to EV Land.
Mom says you're late?
Ugh, I'm not.
They're picking the principal today, right?
Yeah.
Well, I wasn't successful at Madison Ballet by being late.
Mm-hmm.
And I definitely didn't end up where I am now by being late.
I'm not you, okay?
Sorry, just stick to the steps. You'll do great.
Yeah.
Tell you what, I don't have any important meetings today. I'll come cheer you on.
I don't know.
And if you fail, we'll still love you.
Gee, thanks.
I'll see you later. Love you.
Love you too.
Okay, can I have everyone's attention for a moment, please? You may recall that I mentioned that Ollie, come on out here. Ollie will be joining us for this year's review. I, for one, am excited to see what he'll bring from his background in other dance styles. Today, I want to see what kind of chemistry he has with our group. Meg, why don't you two partner up to start? From the top! Energy! Let the music flow through you. The moves should feel like they're coming from here, not from some memorized dance routine. Very nice. Great. Very nice, Ale. Megan, stop thinking so hard and just be. Good, good. Megan, get your head in the game. All right. Drive, drive, drive. Okay, cut the music, please. Thank you, everyone. I think that's it for today. Let's come back tomorrow, fully recharged and ready to go. Thanks, Ollie. Could you give us a minute, please?
What was that back there?
What was what?
What was this? No, you made me look like an idiot in there.
Yo, what are you talking about? You're an amazing dancer.
I can't do what you were doing, and being put on the spot like that, how am I supposed to know what's coming next?
You just gotta feel the music, like, listen.
guess I can't feel it.
Because the music comes from inside you. You know, forget all the steps. Forget all the technicalities. Less thinking, more feeling. Like, let it drive you. Just... Here. Feel that? Electricity.
Oh,
hey, you want to blow off some steam? We're headed to the lake.
Yeah, you should come with us.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Let's go.
All right, let's get it.
All right, come on!
Sure about this, you have to resist any steps that take you afar. Just think about it, you're lost without it, in a current off the mark.
I know this isn't new, but I have to take a chance and dance my part. Yeah, you know we share this electricity.
Listen to your mind, open up your eyes and see the light shine. After all the years, you'll find yourself here with the mind to dream in this atmosphere. So break the mold, take the gold, run your race and don't you fall. Do something new, a move off cue, never let them take that away from you.
I'm not sure this path is where I'm meant to be. Too many roads ahead with just one destiny in front of me. Stay the course and do what's best for me fearlessly. Come so far from where I've been, taking on a path that I can't win. Knowing more of who I am, all these steps I took, I'd take again.
I've come so far from where I've been, taking on a path that I can't win. Knowing more of who I am, all these steps I took, I'd take again. We've come so far from where we've been. Many roads left to be driven. Powered by a future we've
Hey, Meg, y'all charged up and ready to go?
Yep, one sec.
I drive a pretty nice car. Drive a nice little Tesla in this film. I didn't realize how high tech everything was.
And there's like the feature that shows that like all the charging stations and where they are. So if you're running low, you can like check.
My character is named Meg and she drives a Bolt. And it is the cutest little zippy car I've ever been in. It's awesome. Push a button, turns on. You could charge your car at night. And I was thinking, oh, that would eliminate all those trips to the gas station. Like, oh my God, I gotta stop right now or I'm gonna be out of gas. So I was thinking that too, how like convenient it would be to just charge everything in our house and then be able to be on the road.
I've come so far from where I've been, taking on a path that I can't win. Knowing more of who I am, all these steps I took, I'd take again.
I've come so far from where I've been, taking on a path that I can win. Knowing more of who I am, all these steps I took, I'd take again. We've come so far from where we've been, many roads left to be driven. We can see, yeah, you know we share this electricity. We share this electricity. We share this electricity. We share this electricity.
That's that.
Oh man, that's I almost can't believe that we made that.
I can't believe you guys made that either.
And you get a different perspective too when you're watching it and it's like released.
Yeah.
Versus like, even though it's been done for a while, even with the stamp of final approval, like this is out there. It's like, it's out. This is the thing. It's done. And then you just leave behind all those like little, you know, thoughts that get in the way of like, well, maybe this tweak, this, that's all gone. This is like, and it's got a different perspective and it's, kind of mind-blowing.
mind-blowing for sure. Every time I watch it, and I've just watched it countless times, I always like, it's impossible not to have like a smile kind of on my face, not because, you know, I had a hand in making it, but also it's just as a viewer, it's very it's rapturous, you know, it's a feel-good movie. And I think certainly in the times that we're living in right now, even if it's only 15 minutes of escape to feel good, that still matters. That still, you know, I think that counts for something.
Yeah.
You know,
I mean, it's maybe over dramatic, but it's like, it can't be overstated
how important the message kind of is.
Yeah.
You know, we share, you know, whatever. This is about a utility, but, you know, we share all this stuff, like, as a community.
Absolutely.
I was thinking about, maybe we don't want to go this deep yet, but I was thinking about the other things, about how, like, the... It's kind of a behind-the-scenes thing nobody would know, but, like, the voice, the singing voice of our Black male lead and the singing voice of our white female lead are the opposite. Like, just kind of funny how, like, we, like, everyone came together to, like, make all those pieces work.
Yeah.
There's so much that you could really dive into.
Yeah, and I love that, not just Evie Land, but with all of the films that we've done together, it just kind of presents this world as fact. You know, we don't have to do any sort of, like, preconditioning or explaining, well, this is why this is. It's just presented as it is. And you're either with it or you're not. But for me, as a viewer, and just as someone who appreciates subtlety, subtext, and artistry, I find Evie Land in particular, but all of the films that we've done, just so intoxicating. And I love that it's really made Madison kind of like this star in a way. It's really kind of like, I mean, certainly with Evie Land, I mean, it felt like a true blue Hollywood production. Mm-hmm. I mean, we had all the equipment that you would find on big Hollywood, you know, sets, big crew, cast, extras, the elements,
trucks,
multiple locations,
dancers, costumes.
Dancers. Yeah. It was insane. And we pulled it off in a very short amount of time, from the idea, having the idea, assembling like Voltron, basically, to see if we could, like, carry this out. And I mean, it was such a big idea and such a big scope. And at any given moment, it could have kind of all come falling down, falling apart. Mm-hmm. And so many things had to just work out the way that they did for this thing to kind of achieve what it achieves, you know? And that I find absolutely breathtaking as well, the actual making of it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was just like, it left me delirious in the moment, you know? But even though that there was, like, a lot riding on it and so many things could go wrong, I never doubted it. And I think it's because, you know, that was, like, the sixth production that we had worked on, years of kind of, you know, working relationship and, you know, friendships after that.
And it wasn't overnight.
Yeah. there was just a trust that, you know, is so required and necessary for true collaboration. That's one of the big joys that I've gotten working on this project, in particular with you two guys, is just that trust. I mean, I just trust it. And that feels good. You know, you're not everybody can say that.
Well, and I know it's intentional, but again, like, I haven't actually reviewed this stuff in, like, a really long time. It's been a while. The little snippets in the credit sequence.
Oh, so good.
That kind of brings it all back too. Yeah, just like, oh man, that's right. All this big project, you know, like, it's an impressive film for sure. Yeah. But it's like, yeah, even though it's a 15-minute thing, you know, far short of, like, a feature length movie, it still has, like, a lot of, like, stuff that went into it, and kind of like, that's just a snippet in the credits. I mean, there's a lot, that took place.
And if you haven't yet, if you're just tuning in now, you should definitely go check out genre2030.com. I think I'm getting feedback from you, Jack. genre2030.com, and you can see all the films, and you can kind of see the lead up to this and the different types of productions that we've done, different stories that have been told. And I think that tells a fascinating story. And Liz on Facebook was just talking about locations, like, oh, where is that? And it was in Madison, you know, at the Overture Center, the Ovation building, Warner Park. You know, it was all over Madison, kind of like a love letter to Madison. We did try to shut down John Nolan, but the city told us no. But we got to go to the city and sit in front of the council and, like, pitch our idea and try to get them to sign off on a location. And, you know, somebody was very concerned for the Department of Transportation or something. And then everyone else was like, no, it sounds amazing. It sounds great. But they're like, we don't want to reroute for one day.
Yeah.
And so we found a location that worked. And it's great that Liz was like, I hope you shut down the Beltline, because maybe you thought it was like on a really big, busy road. It wasn't. It was on a wide, not busy road by a park. So we were able to shoot there, but hopefully you were still able to feel that and experience that, because that's like what Charlie was just talking about. There's so many things that can come up, and so many things did. And being filmmakers and marketers and storytellers, it's just about rolling with it and making it work.
That's the other thing about this piece, is this is an incredible song. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've lived with this song for like 2 years and I'm still not sick of it.
Oh my gosh. Isn't it so amazing?
Actually, yeah. And it's also impossible not to sing without a huge smile on your face.
Yeah.
So, you know, mad props to our composer and songwriter, Josh.
Yeah. Josh Stromer.
I mean, he just like killed it.
Yeah.
Because I remember, you know, before, I remember the meeting and I just had a list of, okay, the song has to obviously reflect the story and the mm-hmm. character and the character arc. But it's like, okay, you got to also include all these electric vehicle facts and information into it too. So it was just a marvelous job that he did. And so much is riding on that song.
It's oh my crazy. Gosh. Well, yeah. And I think we were all pleasantly surprised. We've worked with Josh on several different things. And, you know, one was like a feature film. He composed it all for it. And that essentially gave us the confidence. We're like, dude, this guy can create anything. And I feel like it's, you know, it is a super catchy kind of pop song that it's like the combination of the story.
Not too catchy and not too pop. It can't can't get on your nerves after, you know, multiple listens. Right. And I don't think it does. I think the song is like, you know, that with all due respect to our incredible cast, especially Catherine Rogers as Meg and Solomon Roller as Ale and Jacob Ashley as Julian, the song is really sort of the centerpiece. It's like, it's the heart and soul of the piece, because it really kind of like connects all the themes and all the characters and all the moments that we're building up to in this one hybrid of emotion. And it's just, without the song, I don't think the thing would be as half as moving as it is.
That would be really funny. We should totally do this. You know, next week we're planning on talking kind of a behind the scenes, like breaking it down of everything that went into it. But that'd be hilarious to take out the song in that last dance and just make the sound like,
yeah.
Oh my gosh. That would be so amazing.
That'd be hilarious.
Yeah. Song. Can we get that on Spotify or something? Can MG&E have a Spotify account?
I mean, if the environment was different, I would. Part of the strategy that I wanted to do was just like, we need to get this. Every wedding DJ needs to have this as part of their playlist.
Yes. Oh my gosh.
It would have been a perfect use of that song, or karaoke bars. I mean, it's just like, such a great singable song. And then the crescendo at the end, it's just like so uplifting. It's just, man, it just like, and it's great that we're able to share that a couple times, like with the end credits as well.
Right.
That was cool to be able to kind of like give the audience a little bit more of it. So yeah, I don't know. I can't say enough about Josh's contributions to the film. The music throughout is really, really strong, and it feels like it's, you know, not dominating the scene. It's just kind of like supporting the character and helping guide us along. Mm-hmm. And that's the other thing too, that's really quite, satisfying about this, is that it is a longer film, but it doesn't feel that way because it just moves. It's so fluid, you know, and a lot of that is because of the camera work and mm-hmm. just having that continuous sort of motion. That also, you know, makes it seem like it's not as long as it is. But I mean, I think it's just the fluidity in the filmmaking, but also the fluidity in the character. It's you can sort of easily relate to where Meg is at. I think everybody has. I know Catherine, when we casted her, I think we knew almost immediately, like, okay, this is our star. This is Meg, because she really related to her story. Mm-hmm. And, you know, for me, what EV Land is about, it's about, certainly about electric vehicles. And, you know, if you go to the website, genre2030.com, you can see some other videos about electric vehicles and all the great products and services that MG&E provides for electric vehicles. But one of the main thing that I take away from it is not letting your past define your future.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And I think that's what, you know, I think everyone sort of struggles with that. Definitely right now, man. I mean, I think that theme is amplified to 11, right? World. So I'm hoping that, you know, this film kind of helps people make sense, helps them feel better about, I don't know, their day. And it's a nice reminder of, you know, how things were before the pandemic. And I mean, that was the other thing, just like watching these scenes play out, man, you know, wow, you can't get that many people together anymore, and you certainly can't get that close together anymore. So,
right.
It was a different time when we made it, for sure.
Yeah.
So it's interesting to see it now, and maybe, you know, and maybe it needed to not come out for a while, and now is the time. And, you know, the other thing, too, is we're releasing it now, but tomorrow it's the beginning of National Drive Electric Week, which is this big nationwide week devoted to getting the word out on electric vehicles. So this is MG&E's sort of what we're throwing into the hat, and hopefully people can see it and then explore all the great benefits of electric vehicles. And
oh boy.
I can't tell you guys how many things just exploded.
Yeah, I'll work on getting that back up. Like I mentioned, we will have, you know, maybe a more in-depth discussion, but please do post your questions. If you have watched it, if you haven't yet, go maybe open a separate window for genre2030.com. Pause us, watch that, and then come back to us and ask us your questions.
Yeah, please.
Because, yeah, we're super excited that this is out there, and it's got, like Charlie was just mentioning, something that I think the story is universal. You know, I know my family loves it, and the people that I've showed it to have been amazed that a group like us, you know, an MG&E, like MG&E could create something that is moving like that and that is engaging and at the same time has that real strong brand messaging in it, because we've got the electric vehicles. We talk about, you know, that song, we share this electricity. It's the kind of the whole point of the film is that we're talking about this communal experience or feeling that we share. We're better together, but it kind of goes right in line with electricity or the actual things that we need. Cause the whole genre series is showing, like, look at all these amazing people and amazing things they do. But without electricity, you know, we wouldn't be able to do this. We wouldn't even be able to talk right now because, you know, we can't hang out in many cases. So it's through electricity, it's with shared electricity, with that connection that we can do great things.
Absolutely. That's well put, my man.
Yeah. So this is a good one from Liz. Where are you generating the electricity?
Where are we generating the electricity?
And certainly there's, she asked wind farm. So there's the literal version of that, but maybe also the thematic version.
Yeah. So the electricity for electric vehicles, I mean, people can, you know, charge their vehicles at home. MG&E has a wide network of public charging stations as well. The nice thing about EVs, I mean, it's obviously environmentally friendly. It's cheaper, lower fuel costs, lower maintenance costs. But if you want to charge your electric vehicle at home, MG&E can install a charging station in your home, and you can have all of the energy that you use to fuel your electric vehicle come from renewable energy sources as well. So it's really a win-win situation that MG&E provides.
Yeah, I didn't realize that about the charging station too.
Work
with you on that.
If you're interested in electric vehicles and you're considering about buying one, MG&E has this really robust hub for electric vehicle information. It's called LoveEV. So if you go to mge.com/loveEV, you can find out about the benefits of electric vehicles, what it's like to drive one, what kind of models are available, what sort of services and resources MG&E provides, what kind of incentives there are to buy electric vehicles. It's a really great one-stop shop for all of your EV needs. And that's something that we're trying to drive people to. And we're trying to get people excited about electric vehicles. MG&E believes in electrifying the transportation industry. And electric vehicles, as I said, plays a big role in our net zero and clean energy goals.
I'm super stoked about getting my second electric vehicle here soon. Sweet. LoveEV, what's the full URL? I'll throw it up on screen too.
MGE.com/LOVEV. It's hard to say.
LoveEV. LoveEV.
Yeah, LoveEV.
Yeah. Here we go. This will be on screen for everyone. So I'd love to hear from each of you guys too, like one of your just favorite memories or experiences over the last couple years working on this, getting it up here. What stuck out in your mind? And maybe I'll give you a second to think. One thing that stuck out in my mind is, like, as marketers, we hate selling. Like, if somebody's like, hey, we need to sell this thing, we kind of want to change the conversation to, well, what's the problem? And maybe we can talk about solution, right? And then it becomes just a whole transformative conversation that is really, we found, able to engage your target audience, your customers, way than I'm trying to sell or people need to know this crap. I've always appreciated that with your approach to marketing, in that, you know, you have those things you want to communicate or need to communicate, but first and foremost, you have the target audience and their needs in mind. And like you were just talking about all the electric vehicle stuff. And for me, it's so interesting and so exciting. And the piece that we did, I think, is so engaging and it's not selly. And I think that's the type of content that people really respond to. And so I love that, you know, for the last however many years, we've been able to do great content that can really connect with people and it gets good messaging out there, but it never comes from a place of like, I have to sell them and they have to feel this and I'm a corporation. No. Let's share in something together. That's one thing that I really appreciate.
Yeah, man. I would echo all of that as well. I mean, it's definitely not my style. I don't respond to heavy-handed messaging or hard sells. I like to make my mind up on my own. And I think a lot of people, as consumers, they're more emotionally driven. So you know, bullet points and goals and percentages are, you know, important, but like, I don't want to hug them, you know, something like EV Land, I could hug. I mean, I like want to hug that thing. And it makes me want to learn about electric vehicles. It, you know, I mean, all of the genres that we've done, I mean, there's like a central energy component. And I just think that we've told it in such a dynamic way and really leaning into the human energy aspect of it, that I feel like that's the way to kind of get people to trust your brand, to explore your brand, to believe in your brand. If they have a good experience through genre, then maybe when they are on the market for an electric vehicle, or if they're, you know, upgrading their energy efficiency in their home, they had a really good experience with MG&E. So they'll come back to us and speak with one of our energy experts to help
guide them in making those decisions, whether it's adding insulation or upgrading to a high efficiency furnace. You know, we have the talent. We have talented staff that really love and know these things very well. It's just sometimes, you know, you just take energy for granted. So I feel like in a way we've sort of acknowledged that and really refocused, you know, not so much the energy, but how people use energy and what energy allows these beautiful moments to occur. And I think that's probably my favorite memory from making Evieland is really all, it's just a composite of all these wonderful creative moments where energy is sort of supporting it, you know, behind the scenes, or lighting overture, you know, just witnessing that. And then in between, you know, shots, I mean, there's a lot of downtime when you're making a movie. So you're seeing like the dance companies kind of rehearse, or just having lunch, or just talking. That camaraderie on the film set, man, I find it intoxicating. And, you know, I'm not doing the heavy lifting that you guys are, you know, directing and working with the DP and all of those with cast and so forth. So I'm able to kind of just like live vicariously through mm-hmm. all of the things, these engagements that are happening around when we're making these movies. And Evieland definitely was by far the biggest production, but I got to meet so many incredibly talented and committed artists, but then getting to know them on a personal level as well. I think really my favorite memory from Evieland was just getting to know Jacob, who plays Julian in the piece. I mean, he's just this dynamic display of a ballet dancer, but we got to really kind of connect on a personal level too. Just talking about, you know, and being matter of fact about it, talking about our experience about being a people of color in Madison, and, you know, what genre is really about presenting this diversity, you know, not for diversity's sake, but just like, this is how it is. Yeah. And we want to make sure that this audience sees themselves in it, you know? And I think that to me is, if I had to just take one thing that I'm most proud of the entire series, it's that we've been able to like present people as they are in a heightened fashion. But that they look like me, or they look like Jake, you know, or Rashad, or Lou, or Bria, or Jonna, or Joe and Joyce. I mean, it's just like, you know, I'm starstruck. I'm really like starstruck with everyone that's been involved with these films. I mean, and some of the people that I'm starstruck with, they're like my best friend, but I'm still like, so, I don't know, enamored with them. And it's just watching you guys work too. It was a joy, because we had I can't sing this man's praises enough, but Nate Stevens, who we had as our Steadicam operator. I mean, this guy was like, he was like Iron Man. I mean, he had like that, his gear was like 50 pounds of camera gear affixed to his body for 3 straight days, and Ryan Frank pulling him around, grabbing him. I mean, it looked like you were like, you know, like you pulling like a kid, or, you know, staging your children or whatever. And it was really kind of like fun to watch you guys figure that out. It was fun to watch the camera choreography when we were doing the rehearsal for that big musical number. I just found that just so many things that I was just, that I fell in love with on the spot. I mean, this was like truly a labor of love, an emphasis on labor and love. I mean, it was hard damn work, but well worth it,
I think. I also want to throw a shout out there to Jordan Post, who our DP, because a lot of the translation and design kind of happened from him, you know, or through him. Like, okay, we have, you know, this group right here, Charlie, John, and Ryan have this crazy idea, and we want to do this. What do you think?
Yeah,
so translating that to—he was such a great.
He's been with us day one with genre. The man knows how to fill a frame. And I'm one of the things I like really about Jordan is like his sensibility in lighting design and using. I mean, that's what film is. I mean, it's playing, manipulating light and shadows, and he does such a marvelous job of that, and really kind of captures. Because, you know, I'm not in any normal client, you know. I'm like, I want this. These are the films. And half the time you guys are like, I've never seen that. I don't have any idea what you're talking about. But, like, you guys are just such pros and so skilled, and really take the time to kind of listen that I'm just, you know, in love with the fact of how you can kind of capture that vision that, or bring the vision that I had to life and really enhance it, take it to the next level. So, I mean, yeah, man, Jordan's he's the bomb. I mean, the last day of the shoot for Evie Land, I wore my Michael Jordan jersey and I told him I'm wearing this actually for you, Jordan.
That's awesome. Yeah. Jordan was commenting too, like that was just one of the, you know, best parts of it, the energy on the last day. And yeah. I feel like I keep repeating myself, like culmination and summing up of, but yeah, that feeling on that day, that energy, that's our excitement for this project and how it can touch people.
Yeah, it was, that day, and maybe we can talk about that at a later time, but just that, the actual shoot was just like, it was terrifying energy, really. Because dealing with the elements too, there was a thunder. There was thunder and lightning in the distance. We had this massive storm that was bearing down and we could see it across Lake Mendota. And I think like when we nailed that last shot, everyone was just delirious and it was just euphoric.
And then we're like ducking cover because like the cloud is like literally like, right across the lake. And then it poured on us.
Yeah. Mother Nature's like, did someone say electricity? I'll show you electricity.
Then it started.
Yeah.
I think for me, I mean, there's so many pieces that you could talk about. And the practice day in the abandoned road in the cornfield near our office was really fun for me. Right. Just to like try to think outside the box, like how do you rehearse a road scene? Like we barely got permission to close a road for one day, but we still need to rehearse. So we had to find a road and this abandoned road in a cornfield near our office that we used. But in terms of storytelling, what's really rewarding for me, like we do this all the time, like in all of our projects, I'm trying to tell the story for some other company or product or organization, individual. And I think in the climate that we are in where, you know, people get so fired up about things, there's often this idea that like no one else can speak for another person. And there's something to that, you know, like, well, that person should tell their story. But it's an interesting thing for me writing for a ballet dancer, for a, you know, person who is different than me, you know, writing for a woman, writing for a black man, writing for, ballet company, writing for electric car owners,
a male danseur.
Yeah. None of these things are me.
Yeah.
And so I'm trying to like get myself into that place. But then, you know, checking back with people and saying like, is this legit? You know, is this something that you feel? Am I writing this correctly? Am I telling your story correctly? So there's some of that, like just on a empathetic side, but then also like learning a ton about like, okay, so here's what happens in the story. She's got this really difficult move to do and then she falls and it's a moment of failure. But then the logistics of it, like, can you do that move? You know, like you're like a professional, but like I've chosen a challenging move based on some research on ballet and like looking up, you know, and reading about like the most challenging moves. And then it's like, we need to film this shot multiple times. Can you do this multiple times? also, it seems like a funny thing to have not thought about, but it's like, oh yeah, by the way, can you do these moves on a street, on concrete, in tennis shoes?
Yeah.
And you know, holy cow, like, yeah, Jacob, both of them, but like Jacob's power off of the concrete, you know, in like,
yeah, he's dress shoes, majestic
powering, yeah, you know, like powering himself into the air. You don't get a sense for that. We just see movies all the time like this, and you just don't get a sense for what it takes to do that. Anyway, I went a lot of different directions there, but I think if I just had to go pick with one, the most rewarding thing is like, it's telling somebody's story. Not that they're not more capable of telling it themselves, but you know, I'm in the role of writing it down and trying to make sure that like I'm doing them justice. Yeah. You know, like that's what we do in all of our projects. And this one was really important in a lot of different, from a lot of angles.
Mm-hmm. Right. It's that idea of authenticity. And from the beginning, that's been something that Charlie talked about. And like, I think that's what resonated with our work too, is just the authenticity of it. And I think that's the only way that this stuff is successful.
Yeah. I mean, that's the bedrock for sure. Authentic storytelling, but authentic to the story you're trying to tell, to the filmmaking, to the film grammar that you're using to tell that story, being true and authentic to that, but being true and authentic to the individual. You know, that's one of the nice things that I've really appreciated about you guys, and you know, our other collaborator Carrie Hyman, who did season two. I mean, you guys took the time to meet with our stars and learn about them, like, you know, with Lou, you know, why did you want to become a barber? And that didn't necessarily, that wasn't like a story beat in his film, but that definitely informed, I think, how we told a version of his story. Mm-hmm. So there's that delicate sort of aspect of pre-production when you're really trying to understand what makes this person tick. And you see them as a fully formed, fleshed out human. I mean, this is someone that cuts hair. Well, why does he cut hair? And what steps did he take to lead to what he's doing now? And again, that's not necessarily, we're not doing a biography, but those things inform you as a storyteller and even as a marketer to a certain extent, how you're going to, handle with delicacy and care, these stories. And at the end of the day, it's been really kind of great to kind of tell these interconnected stories, and with this connective tissue of energy, be it human energy or be it, you know, kilowatt hours or, you know, therms. It's really kind of cool that we've been able to weave both of those narratives into this hybrid of, you know, human energy and energy and the arts. And I'm really, really proud of that. I feel like it's one of the most innovative marketing campaigns ever done, to be honest with you. And I think what we set out was just like, okay, we're going to create the coolest goddamn marketing campaign that a utility company has ever done. And I think because it is filled with such heart and soul, and I think you can do this in Madison too, because Madison is not a big city. It's a mid-sized city. And when you're focusing on a specific demographic age range, millennials in this case, there isn't a suspension of disbelief where it's like, okay, that doesn't make any sense that that person knows that person and all of a sudden everyone knows. Well, yeah, that's how it actually is in Madison. Like Lou the barber knows DJ Radish, you know, and DJ Radish knows, you know, Joe and Joyce at Saint. So I love that we're able to depict community energy in the way that we've depicted it. And just as a cinephile, I just get off on all the film grammar that we really kind of embrace to tell these stories, you know, with subtle terms, like with Electric City, which was really just a silent film. We really relied on film grammar to kind of tell the story of this character. But then with Evie Land, where it's just this huge, big production, it's in your face. I love the scope of the project collectively and as a whole. I think we've done some pretty amazing things, and we should all be proud of it.
Yeah, well, and an analogy is like a really useful way, valuable way to explain things. You know, you could just explain how the electricity flows from the power station to all the different neighborhoods, and then where the Transformers are that step it down and whatever, and just what happens when, you know, somebody doesn't have it, access to it, and what that means for their business or whatever. Like, you could sit there and do a documentary style film, which you've done lots of them for lots of businesses, where somebody just talks about that.
Yeah.
The literal reality of it and says, yeah, I don't know what I would do if I didn't have electricity, you know, because I need to like use it in my daily work. But, and that's kind of engaging, but it's not the same as like, it's like the parables, you know, it's like, let me tell you a story. Once there was this girl who was a dancer.
Yeah.
Right.
She, you know, like, and that story actually tells you more truth than just explaining the, how it works, because you have all the connective tissue of it. Like, oh yeah, it's kind of like I'm driving my car and I'm used to it working this way, and making the leap from that to an electric car, I'm really anxious about it because of all the things that I might have to consider to make that work, you know, but like, you're going to lose things in translation versus just like telling a story about people that you can grow to care about. And then,
yeah.
Which again, I mean, it gets really deep for just, it's just an electric vehicle, but you know, it's like,
Well, I think, but it also represents that person. I mean, why does someone choose to buy an electric vehicle or drive an electric vehicle? Why does a person choose to, get all their power from a wind turbine or a solar farm? I mean, that decision is not just because like, okay, I can save money, or is this good for the environment? I mean, is it because you want to leave, you know, this world in a better state for your children and your grandchildren than it is now? There's something interesting there. There's something deep there. And I think, you know, these films are, you know, polished and high quality, whatnot, but there's a lot of subtext in all of the films, and there's a lot of character in all of the films, and you know, there's a lot of things to kind of explore in the films and outside of the films too, with all of the energy attachments to the stories. And I feel like, for example, like Meter Things, you know, which was our homage to 80s horror and Stranger Things. I mean, really, at the end of the day, it's basically energy education. Electric heat is the most expensive way to heat your home. Now, I could tell you that. Is that going to resonate with you? Or I can make it about this demonic space heater that's haunting this very charismatic YouTuber, you know? And I know which one I'm going to find more memorable. That's going to make me think twice before I plug in an electric space heater. So, you know, there is a method to our madness for sure.
Yeah. You're always going to have those like little pictures in your mind's eye when you're thinking about plugging it in. Oh yeah, that's right. We got the
furnace, the electric heater monster.
Yeah.
So we do have a question from Carolyn, longtime viewer. Also, let's see, what's the men's hair club line? Not only am I a spokesperson, I'm also a patient. That all sounds terrible. So we should write something around that. That horrible pitch. But she's wondering, Charlie, did you have a strong concept for EV Land that you brought to us, or was it more in-depth collaboration, come up with a story concept, or kind of how did it all come together?
Well, I mean, I have the idea. So with EV Land, basically the original pitch was, I want to do the opening freeway sequence in La La Land, but with electric vehicles. And also sprinkling a little of Baby Driver, this movie called The Red Shoes, which is a ballet film from the 50s. It's marvelous. And Break Into Electric Boogaloo. I mean, we borrowed heavily from that story. I mean, I bring the idea to the table, but it's just an idea. You know, it's only as good as the people that actually execute it, that are able to execute it and take the idea, fully form it out, flesh it out. And that's really what all of these films have been. It's just like, okay, I want to tell this story about this guy in this way. now you guys need to make that happen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and with EV Land, it was that very basic idea of like, but wouldn't it be cool to do a musical? Because I think at that point we had worked together and we had the confidence. I'm like, now I think we could do a musical. What music, what's it going to be? And, you know, electric vehicles is a huge initiative for Madison Gas and Electric. So that idea just kind of came into my head. The same with meter things. Season 2 of Stranger Things was coming out. I wanted to tell this really kind of fun horror comedy that explored electric heat. So I come up with the idea of this, it's very basic. And then this is the energy component that we need to attach to the idea. And then we sit and we just sort of break story. We break what that's going to look like. We break the film down, like how it's going to feel, you know, with mood boards, watching films for inspiration. It's just an idea. And then everyone else gets to add their artistry to it. And then you come up with something that no one would have come up with on their own. But when everybody participates and collaborates, then you get something like EV Land. I mean, even like Rachel Fox now, she just got married. Congratulations, Rachel, if you're watching. The School of Madison Ballet director and our choreographer. I mean, she was really instrumental in telling us this is how it works for someone like Catherine's character, Meg, when she's up for the lead. And then suddenly, you know, this, you know, invited dancer comes along and there's just this threat. And Catherine really has to play that out. When Ale arrives on the scene, I mean, there was a lot of nuance to that world that Rachel provided that was completely unbeknownst to me. So, you know, what started as, okay, let's do La La Land, but with electric vehicles, it became this fully fleshed out and, again, authentic and true to the worlds that we're exploring. And the only way that you can do that is to allow those people to have a seat at the table and have a say at the table.
Right.
And, you know, oftentimes I'm sitting at the head of the table,
right,
you know, leading us.
Right.
And that's the great thing too, is like, you just, when you have true collaboration, you check your ego at the door. It's not about your idea. It's about what's best for this process, the creative process, and then the end project, and everything, everyone just kind of like buys into it.
Yeah.
And I just, like with you guys, it's easy because I'll come up with an idea and I know that it does something for me. And I'm just like, I know these guys are going to like it. And then you guys get a hold of it. And then it just like, it just expands. It's really beautiful. I mean, I can tell you the germ of an idea for all the mm-hmm. films, and then they become something else entirely.
Well, and that sum of the parts is so fundamental. You know, it's a part of the story too. And I love that you're sharing that as well. You know, you come up with just an idea and you come to us and like, okay, what do we do? How do we do this? And then we come up with more ideas on how we could do some stuff. But then we reach out to our trusted, you know, folk. And that was, I thought that was amazing. Like Josh Stromer, his music, because I don't do music like that. Also Rachel,
AJ,
thank you. Was it Juarez, right?
Yeah,
because I always think of Wario. But Rachel and AJ, like, I have no dance skills. So just being like, we're going to need a dance. It's going to be here in this location. Here's the story elements, and maybe feature them in front. And then they come back. And like when we went and recorded some behind the scenes stuff, I was like, holy F, this is real. Like, you are amazing.
Also the challenge of what was written into the story, like, proved to be real in real life. Like what she's struggling with in bringing the worlds of like classic style ballet and modern dance together
mm-hmm.
was also true in the fullest sense, because Rachel and AJ had to like put their heads together to figure out how to make that happen.
Yeah.
Working with Josh on the music.
Yeah.
We had to be like, you know, like, I want this thing that has this classical feel, but then it kind of And then we like did all this research finding different groups that are kind of doing this synthesis of styles. Like I think the Black Violins was one of the inspirations. They're a musical group, you know, and just like, and what's her name? Lindsay Sterling, because she has all her dubstep stuff with like classical violin and like pulling those things together. It was like a creative challenge for everybody, not only in the story, but in real life. Like we went through that.
And throw in a salsa number two, because why the hell not?
Yes.
I mean, it's just talking about it, man. I just feel good. And watching, like, especially the end credit stuff, I just like want to spend time with these people, just like watching them, observing them do their craft and their dedication and just the smiles and the joy that they had. I mean, that was just like, those were candid moments. Those were like stolen moments that we grabbed in B-roll. And it's really nice to kind of, that's part of the film too, you know, to really show that this was really hard work, but it was really fun and it was really fulfilling. And it was just great to see so many smiling faces. I don't know, man. It's just positive vibes, this piece. It's a really, really strong piece. And I think it also, you know, achieves what its obvious or ultimate objective is. It's to get people excited about electric vehicles. And I think it does that.
One of the things that idea of behind the scenes and like coming together in camaraderie, certainly there's challenges and frustrations. But when we look back, we're going to remember those smiles and those triumphs. And seeing that, I love, because seeing that on films was one of the things that I was like, oh my gosh, I can have a blast telling stories. You know, it wasn't just that I can make a movie and people will hear a story that I want to tell. It was that I can work with awesome people and do something worthwhile. So that behind the scenes has kind of been a part of my story. And so I love that you brought that in there at the end, you know?
Yeah.
And we have more behind the scenes footage.
Yeah.
And stuff that's going to be coming out.
Yeah. You guys should just start like putting the behind the scenes stuff out, you know, right away. I did that yesterday on the genre Instagram stories. I shared a lot of behind the scenes stuff from the making of it. And it was, that really kind of got me in the right mindset for today, because it really was a trip down memory lane, and just kind of, you know, I was just observing all of these things kind of coming together and forming, and just marveled at the skill and ingenuity of our crew. And, I mean, you guys were doing things that you hadn't done before with your Steadicam operation, but like transferring a Steadicam from a human being onto this huge crane and rigging that up to get that shot, to really sort of show the depth and to show that community energy at the end of the finale there. So really it was great to kind of like share, to tell that story, and also tell the story of shooting this thing in sweltering heat, surrounded by rows and rows of corn as far as the eye can see. And the very next day we're shooting inside the most glamorous, glorious, you know, Capitol Theater at Overture Center. It was a whirlwind tour. It was three successive days, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, shooting this film. The first day was an all day rehearsal, really, because that was the first time that both dance companies had done the piece with cars.
Right.
Up until that point, it was just in the studio at Madison Ballet. So no, and without a camera operator. So figuring out the dance choreography, but also the camera choreography, was really quite breathtaking to see that play out and trying to figure it out. And then, you know, the following day we were at it very early with the stuff we shot at the Ovation on their rooftop with Catherine. And then, you know, the stuff in between the alleys, between Overture and Ovation with Ollie or Solomon and Catherine, shooting in the Overture Center, then going to the north side to shoot Julian's charging station, at-home charging station scene, and then flying back downtown to shoot the charging station stuff at MG&E. I mean, that was like an endurance test, but that was like nothing compared to day three of principal photography, which is the big finale. And it was insane. I even to this day, I'm just like, how the hell did we do this?
Yeah. So I do want to remind everyone, the links are down below, genre2030.com. Go rewatch the whole film, and you'll get it in all of its full frame glory as opposed to the small frame and Yankee frame rate happen when I see it. Please do check that out. Check out the website for more. Is there anything else? I mean, we've kind of talked about it all, but anything else you wanted to share at this point? Like I mentioned before, we're going to do more. Hopefully we can do another one of these next week with some other people.
Yeah.
So you'll definitely want to watch our Facebook and MG Genre's Facebook to what we're going to be doing. But is there anything at this point as we're wrapping up that you want?
No, next week, I mean, today it premieres, but next week we're going to be just jam-packing both MG&E's social media and Genre social media with electric vehicle content during National Drive Electric Week. So if you like the film, great, but if you're really sort of seriously considering electric vehicles, please connect with us on Facebook and Instagram and kind of just kind of consume the content that we'll be sharing next week. We'll have a lot of cool electric vehicle videos, both of the EV Land variety and also of Love EV, mgne.com/loveev. But I would just say that, just kind of stay plugged in with Genre, because the film is out now, but it does kind of end there. There's still more story to tell, and I'm excited that we'll be able to tell that and really shine a light on our stars, because we've got some pretty cool videos that really kind of explore each of them as artists. So those are going to be fun to share as well. But yeah, I'm just really, really happy that we get to share this electricity with our community and our customers. And it's a long time coming, but here we are.
Yeah, so we share this electricity. John,
please share electricity with all your friends. And Facebook friends and real life friends too.
Yeah, share, like, subscribe, do all the things.
Keep an eye out for them.
And I would like also say, try to watch this on the biggest screen possible. I mean, we shot this in widescreen and really, really wanted to have this thing look and feel and sound like an actual film. So, I mean, if you only can watch it on your phone, that's fine, but, you can get it on YouTube and watch it there and try to watch it on a biggest screen possible with a really good sound system, because the music in this really kicks butt.
Yeah.
Good reminder.
Yeah.
All right, John, what do you got for me?
Gonna have to get that single out at some point.
Definitely.
Yeah. Anything else, John, that you wanted to say? Otherwise, we're wrapping up.
No, I was just going to plug the single. I hope it's coming out.
Yeah. No, that's awesome. So again, genre2030.com, the links down below, mge.com/loveev. At genre2030.com, you can see all the films and listen to all the music in there, because all the music is from local creators, I think. Yeah. Most of it is.
I mean, that's a good point, Ryan, that just to throw in there. If you take the time, it'll take a while, but if you take the time to engage with all the films and watch through all of them and then watch EV Land, you might catch some Easter eggs, some things that were built upon and all showed up in the film. And I'll just give you where to look for it. You know, watch that big car scene, the big dance scene, and you might notice some things.
Yeah. That's kind of like, actually, that's like probably my favorite moment in the piece. It's just that what you're talking about. I love that. And yeah, big shout out to Dudley Noon and Radish, who did the music for all of the previous Genre episodes. And I think we included a Radish song when they charge up and go to the big musical finale.
Yeah. As we're passing by cars, we hear him as well.
Yeah.
Several of his joints.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Yeah. Awesome. Cool. Thank you, Charlie, so much for coming and sharing this experience with us, this film, for working with us and creating something unique.
Yeah.
And it's been a ride, and thank you, Charlie.
Oh, thank you, Ryan. Thank you, John. I don't know. I think I'm going to cry now.
Good. And with that, thank you so much for tuning in. Next week, we're going to have more EV Land, more MG&E content. We're so excited to get in on this stuff and go more behind the scenes, even in the evening. I think we've almost confirmed that. Charlie gave me his availability, but I never confirmed it, so I don't want to say what it is. But we're going to do some fun stuff over the next week. Like, subscribe, do all the social things, and we'll see you here next week. Thanks so much for tuning in. Bye.